All year, I have been talking about a healing series. And every time I tell you I'm about to start the healing series, the Lord would give me a different message for that morning, and I would be like, oh, okay, all right. And so every morning that we would come expecting that, well, guess what? Finally, I felt a release to talk about healing, okay? This is a huge subject. It's so big that we're just going to, it's going to take us months to unpackage it, okay? And I just want to say on the front end, healing is something, first of all, I'm very passionate about healing. I've spent much of my adult life studying the scriptures concerning this topic. And at one point, I was trying to memorize every healing verse in the Bible. I think I was pretty close. Not for the purpose of just patting myself on the back, so that I could pull it up and use it as the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, when the enemy would come and hit me with things physically, okay? And y'all have heard me preaching all year. We've talked about the importance of man's authority. If you haven't listened to that message, it's on our podcast. Please go back, check it out. You will not understand the true healing message if you do not understand man's authority. If you're still under the thought that everything that happens is God's will, then you're going to be very, very lost when we start talking about healing, and you're not going to understand a lot of what we're going to get into, because God's will does not automatically happen, right? Okay? It does not. That's why Jesus told his disciples to pray, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He told his disciples to pray because he gave authority over the earth to man. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord. The earth he has given to the sons of men. We have authority in the earth. God is looking to use man, and that's the way he set it up at the beginning. You can hear the whole message on the podcast. I'm not going to relook at that. But I want to dive into healing. This is going to be a short one. Nothing I do is short. I'm sorry. It's hard to shut me up once I get talking. But that's what? I'm going to try to keep this relatively short, though, for me. So I'm trying to keep it not being an hour. But I want to pray because we need help with this one. The Holy Spirit's got to teach us. So let's pray right now. Let's just ask the Lord to help us. Holy Spirit, help us. Give us your heart. Speak to us. Come and open up our ears to hear, and our Lord, and come and heal our hearts. And let us see you, Lord. We want to see you today. In Jesus' name. So this topic will, for many, can be a very sore place in people's lives. But I want to start off, and what the purpose of today is really just to give a foundation in the scripture for healing. So I want to start off in the Old Covenant and just work our way through the New Testament. We're going to be running through a bunch of scriptures, and then as each week goes in, I want to go deeper and start getting more specific on particular aspects to healing and go through a bunch of things. We'll go through questions that many people set out. So, all right, healing. In scripture, turn over, if you will, to Genesis 13. Genesis 13, verse 14. You might say, when you look at this passage, you might say, what does this have to do with healing? And on the surface, it doesn't at all. But it gives us something that tells us why we need to address this subject. All right, so this passage of scripture is when God had called Abraham out, and he wanted to show Abraham some things. So in verse 14, we see that the Lord, he says, and the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever. Okay? So the Lord calls Abraham out. He tells him to lift up his head. Look up. look out, and I want you to look in every direction. And as far as you can see, I'm going to give you that land, and I'm going to give your children's and their children's children that land. I'm going to give your seed that land, okay? There's so much here to unpack. I want to suggest to us that when we're going to move forward into something, the first thing you got to do is lift up your head. Most of the time, we're so focused, self-focused, or focused on the problem that we don't ever lift our head up. And the Lord wants us to lift our head up. Lift up your head, O ye gates. You know? Lift up your head, O ye gates, that the King of glory may come in. We have to begin to look up. Okay? And from the place of looking up, the Lord can, just like it says in Psalms 24 about lifting up your head, O ye gates, the gates are the things that allow things to come in and out. When we lift up, we can allow things to come out. We have to learn how to stop looking at what we see with our natural eyes, which is, and start looking up heavenly and see what God's wanting to show us. Abraham was brought out, and God is instructing him. He's saying, look, I want to show you something. I want you to see something. Okay? And so he calls Abraham, and he tells him to look all the way around. And he says, as far as your eye can see, I will give you the land. So the first thing is that you have to understand you cannot have land that God wants to give you if you don't see it. Did y'all hear that? You can't take land if you don't see the land. If you don't see the promises of God, if you don't see what the Lord's trying to show you, you can't come into it. So how does that have to do with healing? If you don't understand what God's word says about healing, how can you walk in it? That's why we have to go back and allow the Lord to begin to give us insight and understanding and begin to open up our eyes so that we can see what he sees. Now here's the thing. When God called Abraham into this place, he wasn't in the land. He was saying, come on out and I'm going to show you the land that I'm going to give you, which means there was a starting place. The starting place, no revelation. He comes out. God gives him a revelation. Look around. I'm going to show you something. And once he got the revelation and he could see something, then he could begin to move forward into it by faith. And God, of course, we know, gave Abraham that land and his seed. Okay? So the first step for us in any area of God, but in specifically what we're talking about today is healing, is we have to go back and look at what the Lord is saying about healing so that we can get a clear picture of it and see what the God's trying to show us through his word so that we can learn to walk in it. And that means that we're starting a process. A lot of times you may not be walking in health or healing, but if you can see that it's God's will for you to have it, then you can begin to go in and try to possess that land. So that's what we want to look at. Side note, totally unrelated to this, but I can't help but mention it. The cool thing about this passage is that, and this is just on Father's Day, a little Father's Day tag, he said that I will give it to you and to your seed. If you want your kids to walk with God, you know what the first thing you got to do? Walk with God. How are you going? God wants to give us land, and the land that we take will also be for our kids' kids. You can't get, the Lord right here says, I will give your kids the land that you take. Our ceiling is supposed to be their floor. You want God to move in your kid's life? You start walking with God. Let the power of the Holy Spirit be so evident in your life, and you take land, and then you'll see your kids around you start to flourish. It's imperative. Isaiah 59:21. This is one of my favorite. You don't have to turn there, but it's just on that same little side note, and then we're jumping right back off that back into healing. But I just couldn't not share this on Father's Day. 59:21, and as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord, my spirit which is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth nor from the mouth of your offspring nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring, says the Lord, from now and forever. So basically, whatever you allow the Lord to do in you, where He's putting His Spirit in you and His Word in you, God giving us a promise right there in Isaiah 59:21, that whatever's in you will get into your kids. Isn't that awesome? All right. So back to healing. All right. So Exodus 15, turn there. I'm going to try. I know I jump around a lot. I usually, my messages, I cover a lot of the Bible in one message. I will still be doing that. But I do want to take my time with this series. I think this is such an important series and something that we got to get a hold of. And so I want to take my time and really go through this. So today's message is not going to answer all the questions. The whole series isn't going to answer all the questions. I don't have all the answers, but I do have a lot that I felt like the Lord showed me. But this is a series. We're going to be digging into this subject. It's not going to all get done today. So you're going to have to be patient with this one. We're going to dig deep in this. We want to go deep in the Word. We want this to become a foundation in this church. We believe this church is called to be a healing center. We believe this church is supposed to be a prophetic center where you can come and experience the Lord, to hear His voice, where the people in here are hearing His voice and walking in that. But we believe that God's children also are called to heal the sick. And we want this place to be, I want to see this place and I've said this before, when Jesus was healing the people, the house that He was in, they were so full, no one could get back in. And so you got friends carrying their friend on a pallet, and they tear open the roof to let him down. It looks like it started, right? And they have to tear open the roof to get their friend in there because Jesus is in there. And I want Jesus to be so in this building that the crowds can't even get in because Jesus is healing every single person that gets in here. That's what we were after. All right, so Exodus 15. Just let me give a little snapshot of what's going on here. This is important because this is the story of the children of Israel and when He brought them out of Egypt. Now, you realize they were in Egypt some 400 years and they were in slavery. For the Hebrews don't know God. They've been in slavery for 400 years. They're very separated from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, okay? And so they don't really know who their God is. They've been in Egypt. And it's to the point that, and I'm not going to go in there, I'm just going to mention this, but, you know, when the Lord called Moses to go get them, He said, I've heard their groanings. Their groanings were their prayers. You know, they didn't even know how to pray and who to pray to. Because the proof of that is when Moses went to them, He said, who should I tell them? They don't even know who you are. Who should I tell them sending me? Tell them I am that I am. See, this was a whole introduction to the children of Israel because they don't even know who God is. They don't understand the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses had to reintroduce them to their God. Okay? So we need to understand that they don't know God at all. They haven't been taught the Word. They're in Egypt in slavery. Their day is full all day long of busting their backs for Pharaoh in Egypt, and they come home, and if you've ever done construction, you understand this. When you come home, you go to bed, and you might throw a little food in the gut, and you go to bed, and you wake up to do it again. It's not fun, and these guys had it worse. They didn't have time to study and learn and pray and get up and seek God in the morning. It wasn't like that, okay? So God comes, He sends Moses to him, and He tells him, hey, I'm your God. I'm your God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I am who I am, and I'm taking you to a land flowing with milk and honey, right? And He delivers them from Egypt. He brings them through the Red Sea, right? They hadn't learned anything other than He's powerful. He can do some miracles. I mean, all the miracles and the plagues that He poured out on Egypt, you know, He's a powerful God. He cares about them to some degree because He's bringing them out. And they know they just got set free. That's where we get to in the story. They had just came through the Red Sea, and God had not said anything about himself other than his name, and that he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he was setting them free from Egypt, and he was taking them to a land flowing with milk and honey. That's all they know. Okay? Are we on the same page? They don't know much. They get there. Exodus 15, verse 22, right after the Red Sea. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. There he made for them a statute and regulation, and there he tested them. And he said, "If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ears to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer." And they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water, 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the waters. Okay, I've already taught on this scripture before how when God gives you a promise, hey, I'm taking you to a land flowing with milk and honey, the very first place he takes you to is the very opposite of that promise, you know, to where, you know, they're experiencing a place where they don't even have water to drink. You know, that's always the case. When you get a heavy word from the Lord, hey, you're called to be a prophet. Or you're going to go into a desert that looks the very opposite of that. Hey, you're called to do this. Hey, you're going to be a major business guy and you're going to have money and da 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 da. Whatever the Lord tells you, whatever promise you get from God, you will end up going into a desert where the very promise that he told you doesn't look like it's true. And that's where he tests us. That's in our message today. But we have taught on that. But here's what I want to point out about this passage, though. God hadn't revealed anything to him, to the children of Israel yet about himself. Hey, I'm a nice guy. You know, I really like this. I like that. I want you to know this about me. And so this is the first place that God chooses to reveal something about himself to the children of Israel. And out of all the things that God could reveal to the children of Israel about himself, what is it that he reveals? He reveals that he is their healer. The first revelation that God gives the children of Israel about himself, this group of people that know nothing about him, is that he is their healer. God wants us to know something. This in itself is a revelation. The first thing God wants you to know is that he heals you. He's your healer. He wants us to see that. If you give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, keeping all his commandments, I will put none of the diseases upon you that I've just put upon the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your healer. Okay? First revelation. Exodus, I'm about to blow through a bunch of scriptures real quick just because I want to give just, and this is not an exhaustive list. I just want to just kind of make it aware of how much is in the Bible about this subject. Exodus 23:25, he says, "I will remove all sickness from your midst." Psalms 30:1-3, talks about the Lord and how he heals them. Psalms 107:19-20, he sent his word and healed them. Psalms 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not none of his benefits. He forgives all my iniquities, and he heals all of my diseases." That's what the word says. Proverbs 4:20-22, he says, "Your words are life to them that find it, health to all their flesh." Deuteronomy 7:15, "The Lord will remove from you all sickness, and he will not put on you any of the harmful diseases of Egypt." Kind of a looking back, Moses shares that. The one that's really important that we look at is a messianic prophecy that it is Isaiah 53. You know, he bore our sickness, he carried our disease, and by his stripes we are healed, right? Isaiah 58 says, and your health will spring forth speedily. He gave some conditions on that. Jeremiah 30, I will restore you. 30:17, I will restore health to you. Malachi 4:2, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. Now, that's just a few of the scriptures in the Old Covenant. There is a lot more than that. You could take any one of those passages and teach a sermon on them. I want to look at some in the New Testament. Matthew 8. We're taking our time. We're going to dig deep on this. We're going to get into some of these passages in depth. But for today, we're just mentioning them. Matthew 8, 16 through 17. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So Matthew 8 is linking back to Isaiah 53 that we just talked about. Matthew 9:35, Jesus went about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Matthew 15:30, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Inasmuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. I love that. Healing people brings glory to God. We're going to get into some of that other stuff, but I've heard some crazy stuff. But, you know, healing brings glory to God. They saw these things, and they gave glory to the God of Israel. Mark 11, that's the faith thing. We'll get into that one. Mark 16, this was like final instructions. In Mark 16, it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Then they will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Luke 4:17 through 19, more of the same. Luke 9 through 1 and 2, he gave the disciples power, and they went out and healed the sick. Luke 10:8-9, they went out, and they were demonstrating the disciples, and they demonstrated the healing that was taking place. Luke 13-16, Jesus is healing a woman who'd been bound by Satan for 18 years, and he healed her on the Sabbath. You know, all throughout, I mean, there's tons of these scriptures. Let's get to this one. This is a good one. James 5:13-16, is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is there any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. That same word, that word there, saved, it can be translated saved, healed, delivered. It's an all-encompassing word in the Greek, okay? It's interchangeable. You look at it, and one thing is healing somebody. Another thing, they're being saved, as in delivered from something. So the prayer of faith will heal the sick. Those are just a few of the scriptures. We're going to get into a lot of these in depth. We don't have a lot of time today, but I just wanted to kind of give a general overview that throughout the Word of God, there is so much scriptures about God's desire to heal people. I want the Word to get deep in us, because his word is the foundation. If we're basing our belief structure on anything other than the word of God, I think we're going to be astray. A lot of times your experiences will lie to you. Because really it's not the experience, it's the lack of knowledge that you have in those experiences. There's things that you don't know about. But here's what I do know, and something that I've accepted this. This is not open for discussion with me. God's word is true. If he said it, it's true. I don't know why I may be experiencing something, but God's word's true. If he says that it's his desire to heal me, I'm going to believe that. And we have to do that. We have to get the word in us so that we can know, like Abraham, we got to see what God's trying to show us. We got to get this word in our heart. And once we have this word in our heart and we can see what God's, and then we can journey in and begin to take the land. The land that the children of Israel took, that was their promises. But they had to fight for those promises. They didn't just come about free. They didn't just walk on up in there, sit down and kick their legs back and had houses and vineyards. And they had to go in there with a sword and a shield. And they had to wage war against enemies that tried to keep them out of the promises of God. This was their promised land, but the enemy was doing everything he could to keep occupied the land that God had called the children of Israel to. And I just want you to know that healing is a promised land that God wants us to come into, and the enemy is going to do everything he can to keep us on the other side of the Jordan, that we don't go in with sword and shield and start caring enough about the promises of God that we begin to fight for them. If you don't care enough to fight for them, you're not worthy of them. And that's part of the reason why Jesus gives us these things and lets us fight. He wants us to show that we value these things. If you don't value it enough to fight for it, you don't deserve it. I mean, none of us deserve it. It's all by the blood of the Lamb. But what I'm saying is, if it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search a matter out. When you care enough to go search for something, when you care enough about something to fight for something, God says, look, he's starting to value what I value. I have held this not from him, but for him. God has held the things of the kingdom not from us, but for us. And he wants us to come and begin to care enough about these things that we're willing to fight. No, I'm not just going to lay down and allow this thing to kick my tail. I'm going to stand up and begin to believe God's word again, and I'm going to begin to fight. I'm going to begin to quote scriptures. I'm going to do the things that I need to do to wage war so that I can see victory in the area of healing in my life. Amen? Okay. Going back to Abraham, what was the first thing that we said he had to do? What was the very first thing before he could see it? Look up. Here's the purpose of, and here's the thing that we always have to do, is to look up. And what we're really trying to see is Jesus. You know, when Peter stepped out of the boat, you know, when he saw Jesus walking on the water, and he says, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come to you. Well, it is me, so I guess I better let you, Peter. Come on. Peter, looking at Jesus, stepped out on the word that God just said. Jesus said, come. He steps out on it and begins to walk on water. But the scripture is very clear. When Peter began to sink, it said right before, it said he began to look at the wind and the waves. And he began to doubt, and he sank. And then he cried out for help, and the Lord picked him up. Well, here's the thing. He took his eyes off of Jesus. When your eyes are on Jesus, you walk on water. And that's what Abraham was doing. The Lord was saying, lift up your eyes. We have got to learn to see who he is. I want to see who Jesus is. I want to know him. And to know him, I have to know what pleases him. What is his heart? I want to know everything about this man that I'm in love with. I love you, Lord. Tell me. And you know who Jesus is? He's a healer. That's the first thing he revealed about himself to the children of Israel. I'm the healer. And so I want to understand, okay, Lord, why are you the healer? What is it about you, the healer, and how do I apply that to our lives? So let's look at Jesus. We need to lift up our eyes to Jesus to see him. He healed, you know this, in the Bible, everybody in the Bible that came to Jesus got healed. Do you realize that? Every single person. There's not one person in Scripture that did not get healed. There's only, to my knowledge, there's only one person who he said he wouldn't heal. That's the Syrophoenician woman, and Matthew 15, 21 through 28 talks about this Syrophoenician woman. We're going to dig into this one good. I felt like the Lord gave me some good stuff on this one today, but this is not for today. We'll use self-control and save us for another day. But the Syrophoenician woman, she was a Gentile. She was a pagan worshiper, which means she worshiped other gods. But she heard that Jesus had power, and she came to the region because her daughter was demon-possessed. And she had issues. She had physical issues. And she comes to Jesus. And when she comes to him, let's look at it. Matthew 15. Turn over if you want to. If you don't, I'll just read it to you. Matthew 15, starting in verse 21. Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman came out from the region and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But he did not answer her a word. And his daughter and his disciples came to him and kept asking him, saying, "Send her away, for she is shouting out after us." I love seeing that in the Bible. You know how like the two blind men who kept crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And the crowd's telling them to shut up, shut up. And they keep crying out louder. You weren't shutting these guys up. And just like this woman here, you ain't shutting her up. "Send her away, for she is shouting out after us." But he answered and said, I'm sorry, that is incredible. These people are so undignified. They don't care what they look like. All they care about is that they get his attention and get what they want. They don't care. You know, I care. When I get around in public, I don't want to scream and be a fool. That's our natural default state, to care about what people think about us. These people didn't care because they valued what their need greater, and they knew who had it. And they were going to scream out loud enough to get it. We got to learn how to want this stuff. But he answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." See, that was his mandate. Go to the Israel first. But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from the master's table." There's so much in that verse. We're coming back to this, and we're going to preach. This is good stuff. I love this. But let me just say this. It's the children's bread healing. The children's bread. Are you a child? Give us this day our daily bread. What's our bread? Healing. God wants us healed. This is our bread. It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. The only person that Jesus refused to heal in the whole New Testament got healed. What does that tell you? Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father," right? Jesus is the express image of the Father. And he only did what he saw his Father doing. If we've seen Jesus, let's turn over to John real quick. This is closing. John 14, verse 8, Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Just show us the Father. It's enough for us. Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves." Y'all hear that? Jesus, to see Jesus is to see the Father. And everything that we see in Jesus is that was healing. He healed every single person. There's not one person he turned away. He healed them all. That's who Jesus is. He's the healer. And if Jesus is the healer, God the Father's the healer. He desires for us to be whole. Now, that opens up a big can. If you accept that God is the healer, then you have to ask a lot of questions. And these are good questions that I'm going to leave you with, and then we're going to get into it. These are some of the questions that we want to talk about and look at the Word. And when we're going to go back to the Word, what does the Word say about some of this? Is it always God's will to heal everyone? I'm going to give you the answer to that right now. Yes and no. We're going to get into that subject. Is healing a part of the atonement? You know, the atonement meaning that what Jesus did for at the cross, did it cover healing too? Why does some not get healed? Can sin and other things open up the door to sickness? Why is the church so weak and powerless? Is faith a requirement for healing? If so, whose faith, the one praying or the one receiving? All kinds of things to dig into. We're going to dig into this subject. We're going to talk about a lot of things. I'm really excited about this series. I love what the Word of God says about healing. And I love the fact that we can come against what has been taught so erroneous in the church. This junk that's not based in the Word, but it's based in people's opinion and their experiences, where you begin to try to talk people out of the Word of God because they've experienced something or something happened and they didn't like it, and so they start teaching stuff that's not biblical. We're going to get into the Word and find out what the Bible says. But for today, I just wanted to give a brief opening, few scriptures, and just kind of briefly touch on the subject, and then next week we're going to go even deeper and begin to start looking at some of this stuff and really get into the healing series. And really the goal is to first have an understanding that God wants people well. It's His ultimate, and I'm kind of answering one of those questions. We'll get into the word why, though, and where it is in the Word. But God's ultimate desire is that everyone would be well. That's His ultimate will. Just like, God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But is everybody saved? No. Well, there's reasons why everybody isn't healed, too. We're going to get into all that. But by the end of the series, I want everyone to be believing that God wants people. His highest intention is for everyone to be well. And then how do we as believers minister healing to other people so that when we're done, we can all lay hands on the sick and see him recover. We can be walking in the faith, or at least on the journey to growing in and going towards the land that God wants us to possess in the area of healing. Does that sound good? All right. Well, Lord, we love you. Father, let this percolate in our heart. This week, Father, continue to stir up, Lord, just a heart for seeing you, seeing the healer. We want you to come in this room, Lord. We want you to come in our lives. We want to see healing bust out everywhere we go. I don't want to ever see someone wheeled into this church and then wheeled back out. Lord, I want this to be a house of healing. And Lord, we're seeking you and we're desiring for you to come in our midst and begin to transform our hearts, our mind, our understanding, that you would increase our faith and you would begin to be the healer in our lives, Lord. We're seeking you and we're thanking you, Lord, that if we seek, we shall find. So Lord, bless us, draw us closer to you. And help us continue to grow in you, Lord, this week. We love you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name.